The new Portals of Prayer devotional Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This devotional resource contains the entire English Standard Version of the Bible with 700 devotions from Portals of Prayer. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or learn more about Portals of Prayer devotional Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer devotional Bible. I don't think anyone ever seriously thought that the clergy abuse scandal was limited to the Roman Catholic Church, but it certainly was the focus of the news coverage and of a lot of the analysis. It has gained a second focus, at least a second focus, in the Southern Baptist Convention. And joining us to talk about media coverage of the clergy sexual abuse scandal in the Southern Baptist Convention, Terry Mattingly, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Why should anyone care about this story other than Southern Baptists?
Well, first of all, for starters, the Southern Baptist Convention is the largest non-Catholic flock of believers in America. So it's a huge story in and of itself. And what happens with the Southern Baptist Convention affects, you know, a lot of institutions that in some states, you know, in our union, are really, really important and powerful. When I was growing up in Texas, we used to say that in Texas there were more Southern Baptists than there were people. And it, you could talk about separation of Baptist and state, you know, in Texas, and it was just about that important. But here's the reason that I think people in other religious traditions and other religious flocks, so to speak, should care about this. The Roman Catholic Church is a truly one-of-a-kind institution in terms of its canon law, its global polity, and, quite frankly, its wealth and its clout, its properties, endowments in some things. And when I say wealth, I don't mean like, you know, tons and tons of money stashed away to do fun things with, although some people allege that. I'm talking about the fact that there are resources to tap. And when you get involved in lawsuits about abuse and everything else, lawyers are looking for resources to attach their case to so that when they win, they can quite literally reap the benefits for their clients. If you sue a small organization with no resources, congratulations, you send them into bankruptcy, but what is that going to do for your client? Now, the other thing that's really important about the SBC is that the Southern Baptist Convention is organized much more like the rest of Christianity in America than the Roman Catholic Church. Now, you have Episcopalians and Methodists and Presbyterians in a variety of other forms of church government. And we've seen lawsuits about church properties and pensions in the gay rights era and all of that. I understand that those groups are there, but they're also in decline, even though they own some nice properties in big cities too. The Southern Baptists, however, represent kind of the normal evangelical slash Protestant polity in this radically individualistic nation of ours. They have a congregational system of polity. They believe, as a matter of theology, just like the Catholic Church has a doctrine of church, Baptists have a doctrine of the church, and it's been with them since Anabaptist groups and all kinds of congregational groups from the Reformation on. And their doctrine of church is that the church has its authority and its discipline at the congregational level. And Baptists have their own unique structure, but the key word here is convention. I don't think many journalists understand how much of Baptist life centers in that word, that they are a convention of independent churches that do some things together in a voluntary basis, but that they are not a denomination with a formal national structure and polity. So when you're driving around in your town and you're passing churches in the United States of America, an awful lot of them are completely, totally independent congregational churches. And even within some of our major denominations, I happen to know just from study that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod would be an example of this. The Methodists are certainly an example of this, and Presbyterians as well. There is tremendous tension between a kind of latent congregationalism, an independent nature of congregations that just fits this era in American life. So when you watch the Southern Baptist Convention wrestle with how to protect people from sexual predators, you're watching something that's really important to the rest of this highly, like I said, individualistic and Protestant nation. Does that make sense?
You're basically saying that the difference here is, while the Roman Catholics' hierarchical structure at least had the potential for discipline, there's nothing that works for discipline on a larger scale beyond the congregation in the Southern Baptist Convention. About a minute.
There is nothing mandatory that works for discipline. Everything is voluntary. And you could even say that even if the Southern Baptist Convention came up with a structure that tried real hard to enforce itself and enforce some rules and regulations on questions related to ordination and abuse, et cetera, you'd make a case that all they would do is drive the worst churches out further into the world of independent life, and you wouldn't do anything to help the people who are in them.
Terry Mattingly is our guest, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. We're talking about media coverage of the clergy's sexual abuse in the Southern Baptist Convention. What does the newly minted president of the Southern Baptist Convention, given how little real authority he has compared to, say, a Roman Catholic bishop or cardinal, what does he have to say about all of this? We'll find out next.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian, but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of clergy sexual abuse in the Southern Baptist Convention. Terry Mattingly is our guest, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion, founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, what does J.D. Greer, the new president of the Southern Baptist Convention, have to say about all of this?
Well, first of all, I have to correct a minor thing there. Southern Baptist presidents only serve for 1 year, and then they are reelected, usually 99 times out of 100, for a second year. Greer is in his second term. So in this sense, believe it or not, even though he just has been around a while, he's an old Southern Baptist president in terms of experience. It doesn't help that he's usually in loafers or walking shoes, blue jeans, and a informal jacket of some kind in the modern megachurch style. But Greer gave a very important address the other day at a national meeting of Southern Baptists that was called to discuss this whole situation. And it was folding out of a they created what you do when you have a crisis of this sort. You create an advisory group. And in this case, the SBC in particular, the current leadership of the SBC, which tends to be younger, a little bit more diverse ethnically, probably not that many more women involved in it at the high levels than it used to be, but they formed this sexual abuse advisory group, and then along with the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, which does a lot of work. That's where Russell Moore is the leader of that. You're used to hearing him speak out on issues, including this one. And they threw a national conference down in Texas to talk about the program they have called Caring Well. Now, Caring Well is an attempt to create a set of standards to help Southern Baptist churches deal with these issues and these problems, a way to try to help these churches take this issue seriously. Now, right up front, we have to say this is not what critics want the Southern Baptist Convention to do. When you read this in the press, and frequently, I think this is because people don't understand the polity of the Southern Baptist Convention. They want the Southern Baptist Convention to set up some sort of official registry of clergy. And in effect, you would have SBC-approved ministers. And here is where you come to find out who's okay, who's gotten into trouble, who people have made reports about, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the problem is that ordination, hiring, firing, and even the act of ordaining people in the Baptist tradition resides totally at the local level. And the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't have the authority to create that sort of thing. And listeners may say, but hey, what about the big, huge Southern Baptist Foreign Missions Program? That's voluntary. Now, you lose a lot of standing in the Southern Baptist Convention if you don't contribute to the cooperative program. But even within the cooperative program, you hear that word cooperative, which says we're cooperating. And that's the opposite of what? Mandatory, legally bound. So the other thing to think about here is if the Southern Baptist Convention created a brand new institution that would license, qualify, judge, critique, and trace ministers, let alone church volunteers. Let's just say ordained people. would you assume that that institution would need some pretty big insurance in case it got sued when it missed something hidden in the life of one of these ministers?
I could see the potential for that, no doubt.
Now, does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod officially ordain from the national level, or is it local or regional or what?
Well, the ordination itself is, I guess you could say, both local and regional, but the men are certified by the faculties of the seminary for their first call, and then that certification is kind of there under the auspices of a ecclesiastical supervisor at a district level. So there is, I don't know how much legal accountability that implies, because the individuals or even the corporate entities don't necessarily have to answer from that point on for the pastor's
bishops
behavior.
So bishops and regional associations don't play an active role in the hiring and firing of clergy.
They simply facilitate that with information.
Okay. Listeners, listen to all the layers of that and how complicated that is. And each of these denominations has some variation on all of those levels. The Southern Baptist Convention has none of that legally. The convention technically only exists once a summer when it is in session at the Southern Baptist Convention. And it can create boards that run things in absentia. It creates, it votes for seminary boards and a lot of other things. But the convention is not a denomination. It votes to set up boards. And then those boards do the heavy lifting. So could you sue a seminary for granting a degree to a minister that you hired and this minister turned out to have major personal problems, et cetera, et cetera? The answer is, frankly, no, you couldn't, because the minister was still ordained by a local church. Well, could you sue that local church that ordained him? Okay, but unless it's a really, really big church, are there financial resources when you sue that church? Can you do anything other than drive that church into bankruptcy and maybe get some of its buildings? You see what I'm getting at? There is no large insurance structure to go after. So could the Southern Baptist Convention do this and make it all voluntary, which is a Southern Baptist way? Yes, they could. But at that point, do you think the bad churches and the bad people are going to volunteer to take part in that and be fully cooperative with it? Maybe, but over time, I think you would see that that voluntarism would have severe limits. And the critics of the Southern Baptist Convention basically keep saying over and over, your structure is all wrong. You're going to have to change your structure in order to deal with this. Well, that's like saying to the Catholics, hey, you know that Pope guy? That Pope guy, that structure's really bad. It's got to go. Now, you can still call yourself Catholics, but this whole thing about having a Pope, you got to get rid of it. Saying to Baptists, you got to get rid of congregationalism, local church autonomy, and polity, you're saying you've got to get rid of your entire institutional identity and the core of your system. And like I said, if you tried to do that with Southern Baptist, all you would do is shove more of those churches out into the total, massive, giant world of independent, evangelical, fundamentalist, charismatic, slash Pentecostal, slash whatever churches. That's one of the fastest growing parts of the American religious scene. And when their clergy do things that are really bad, who gets to discipline them? Who gets to judge them? I mean, we watched this all with the case at Willow Creek. Now, Willow Creek and the Willow Creek Association is a big, big megachurch, but it's still just one church with missions and all that. And I bet you that all of those other properties are in separate legal structures and organizations. I know this is real complicated. The main thing Greer did was got up in the pulpit and frankly got lit up with emotion and kept saying, this stuff is hurting our churches. It's hurting our mission. In one moment that I thought was particularly significant. And he also kept saying, we've had women and people in our denomination trying to tell us this for several decades now, and we didn't want to listen to it because we thought this was a Catholic problem and a liberal problem. And what he said is, this is a sin problem. And the last time I checked, Baptists have not been exempted from the fall and sin. Let me read one quote. What part of society has not been affected? It happens on Wall Street, in Hollywood, on Capitol Hill, in academic institutions, sports programs, Catholics and Protestant churches, liberal and conservatives. I want to say something as an evangelical to evangelicals. We evangelicals should have known this. Didn't Jesus say there would be wolves in sheep's clothing that would come into the flock in order not to serve the flock but to abuse the flock? Later on, he said all these people that said, oh, we should be handling this in-house and keeping things quiet and not embarrassing the body of Christ, you know, out in the open. We should just keep all this stuff secret. He went through a series of scriptures that are normally used to defend that kind of stance and just basically ripped them up and said that this is heresy, is basically what he said. The other statistic that I wanted you to hear, Lifeway Research, which is the organization, you probably have had Lifeway people, you know, on your network quite a few times. Lifeway does all kinds of interesting polling about church life and trends in church life. They found out that 1 out of 10 believers under the age of 35 who have chosen to leave for the Southern Baptist Convention, 1 out of 10 of people under 35 who have left the SBC said they did so specifically because they felt abuse cases had not been taken seriously, either in their own lives or in the lives of people that they knew or in churches that they knew were rocked by this. So he just said, this is a gospel issue, not just in the sense of what the Bible tells us about taking care of the weak and taking care of people and doing justice, etc. He said, this is going to rip our ministries apart in the culture in which we now live. He was pretty blunt. One of his strongest quotes, I thought, he said, there are even people, he was running through a series of myths that Southern Baptists have about this whole subject. And one of them, he said, some people said, hey, you know, 400 or 500 bad people with 700 to 1,000 victims out of a 15 million member church, is that really all that bad? It's a huge number. But anyway, and he also said it's clear that this is just the tip of the iceberg. His point was, and this is a direct quote again, what if one of those statistics involved your son? What if one of those data points was your daughter? Doesn't Jesus leave the 99 to go protect the one? So it was a very important symbolic address by the SBC leader. But it's important, once again, to note, this is not going to satisfy the critics who want Baptists to find a way to get around their church polity and create an institution with the authority to do something about this.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the clergy sexual abuse in the Southern Baptist Convention. Does Greer see a way forward for the Southern Baptist Convention? Stay tuned.
College Preparation Station is proud to announce the opening of its first Missouri location, Creve Coeur. College Preparation Station provides ACT, SAT, PSAT instruction, and college scholarship guidance. Their new Creve Coeur branch is located at 11,500 Olive Boulevard. Learn more at cpsprep.com or call 314-750-5967. College Preparation Station in Creve Coeur, Missouri, and Maryville, Illinois. cpsprep.com.
You know what lasts forever? God's Word. Everything else fails, but not His Word. It holds and delivers exactly what He promises. His Word is so solid and lasting, you can build your life and hope of eternity on it. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. It all starts Reformation Day, October 31st. Learn more at thewordendures.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You're invited to Oktoberfest featuring the Waterloo German Band Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. Oktoberfest features a traditional German buffet dinner, silent and oral auctions, and of course, beer. Tickets are $15. Attendance is limited to 200. Proceeds benefit St. Paul Lutheran School, the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. Learn more and purchase tickets at school.stpaulhamel.org. Oktoberfest is sponsored in part by Seavers Equipment, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Ernst Heating and Cooling, Lutheran Public Radio, St. Paul's Ladies' Aid, Chick-fil-A, and Baker Construction. Oktoberfest, Friday night, October 18th at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. School.stpaulhamel.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of the clergy sexual abuse scandal in the Southern Baptist Convention. Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. After about another 10 minutes with Terry, we're going to spend some time with Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, talk about transgenderism in the Illinois public schools. Terry, does Greer see a way forward for the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, there was a lot of information given out during this conference, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't worked through all of the hours and hours of that. But based when I looked at the program, here's what I think they're doing. First of all, they want to make sure that Southern Baptists start hearing right now from the victims of this abuse, and specifically some of the, you know, the people who are extremely well known in the leadership of the church, the Bible teacher Kay Moore, the wife of Rick Warren out in Southern California, and these who is a victim of abuse. And they want some of these people's stories to be heard. In other words, they're going to turn up the heat under this issue. And I think, frankly, they're going to make sure that when stuff happens, you're going to hear about it from them as well as hear about it from the mainstream press. Because the mainstream press is going to continue to ride this story, and it should, because you could make a case that a lot of what happened at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary and elsewhere happened because of the press doing the work it should do. Now, the other thing that he did is he really wanted to see if he could get pastors to opt in to this Caring Well curriculum. And at one point he said, now you've been through this entire conference, and this is just the first four steps. You've been exposed to only four of like eight steps that we're going to ask our churches to go through. But over and over, you can't, I mean, he can do all that he wants to do. He can use that bully pulpit. He can travel the nation. He can try to push this down to the other levels of Baptist life, which building a tree up from the bottom, you have the local church, then you have local regional associations. Now, just because some people may have heard about this, there have been cases where regional Baptist associations have thrown churches out for ordaining gays and lesbians, for ordaining women to the preaching ministry and to the senior pastorate. And you say, well, gosh, isn't that an authority to do that? Well, you could say that there were lawsuits that were potentially involved in that, but nothing resembling the lawsuits that could happen in things involving sexual abuse, which is a criminality, not a doctrine, criminal cases. It's more like saying the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't want to create some sort of national counseling system to where people can go in and get official Southern Baptist Church level counseling. And if something goes wrong, you sue this national counseling structure. So he is going to try to go to the state conventions. Some of the listeners might be interested in knowing that the Baptists have been at war so long between the quote moderates and the quote conservatives and whatever, that in several states of the Union, Texas leaps to mind, you now have more than one state convention among the Southern Baptists. So which state convention is in charge? That would be whichever one you happen to agree with. So you've got local church, regional Baptist associations, then you have state conventions, and then finally you have the national convention. And the simple fact of the matter is, one Baptist leader once told me, it's almost impossible to get thrown out of the Southern Baptist Convention. You're going to still be recognized as a Southern Baptist congregation somewhere in that matrix of authority. So what will Greer do? He will try to do everything he can to make Southern Baptist voluntarily step forward and report abuse, report what's going on with clergy. But will the SBC create a data bank full of those reports, a data bank full of those legal documents, a data bank full of police reports even? Well, that might make the Southern Baptist Convention suable. And it has a lot of resources, and it has buildings, and it has whatever. So I don't think critics are going to get the structural change they want, because Baptists are not going to stop being Baptists. They're not going to stop being congregational people who believe in a doctrine of the church, that the authority of the church resides at the local level. The Baptists are not going to turn into Presbyterians or Methodists or Episcopalians, and a lot of other American churches are not going to either, led by congregational groups like the Churches of Christ. I don't know what the polity of the Assemblies of God is, but I bet it's congregational, and thousands of individual churches. So it's important what the Baptists are doing. They could be creating a model that churches could do very good things with. But in a congregational system of church life, that's going to be because those churches want to do the ethical and the right thing. Can people force them? Not in free church Protestantism.
In terms of the media coverage, by focusing on individuals like Paige Patterson, who's been getting a lot of press with respect to this, has the media missed what's happening at the congregational, that all-important congregational level in the Southern Baptist Convention?
Well, that's the local story. And local papers should be digging into this and should try showing up at the associational level, maybe even the state convention level. But once again, how many of our newsrooms have trained religion professionals who know enough church history to go in there and do that? There are a few, but not many. It's so much easier to say, oh, this is like a big national political story. They ought to do something. Like the Catholics. Well, saying that the Baptists should be more like the Catholics, or the Catholics should be more like the Baptists, you're working against a couple of hundred years of church history when you start talking like that. And I hope that qualified veteran religion reporters are given a chance to write about this. For all the reasons that we said at the start of this broadcast, this affects millions of Americans who are a part of this whole free church Protestant world. in American life, which is, quite frankly, the dominant form of Christian faith in the United States.
Have the media been able to make the important distinctions, not just draw the parallels, but the important distinctions between the clergy abuse scandal in the Southern Baptist Convention and in the Roman Catholic Church?
Well, yes. There have been, in some of the main coverage, there have been a few fact graphs that simply point out that the structures are different. I really think where they need to go is to the lawsuits themselves and talk to lawyers on both sides and talk to religious liberty experts like the Beckett Fund and whatever, people on both sides of the law in some of these cases, and let people know what lawyers are up against when they try to get justice for their clients when dealing with free church government institutions. The public would probably be shocked to know how hard it is to sue a congregational church. And then you got another issue, which this will be really interesting to see if Greer goes after this. You have some churches out there that when people choose of their own free will to join their local congregation, the congregation is making them sign membership covenants that include statements they won't sue the congregation. Now, what if the Southern Baptist Convention came out and said, we think that's horrible, we think that's against the authority of the local church, we think that hides predators, and we're going to ask local associations to consider kicking churches out if they require people to sign that kind of contract. That would be really interesting because it would be focusing on discipline based on a specific action of the local congregations, which is much more like that whole issue of whether you ordain women or whether you ordain gays and lesbians, etc. You're judging the actions of a local institution. And that would be interesting. That's a question worth asking.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. And he's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thank you very much for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
When we come back from this break, Joy Pullman's going to join us. We're going to be talking with her about transgenderism and the Illinois public schools. She has written two pieces for The Federalist. One, how Illinois schools teach preschoolers to celebrate transgenderism, and hundreds of transgender people want to go back to their birth sex, says formerly trans woman. We'll sort all of that out after this. The new Portals of Prayer devotional Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This devotional resource contains the entire English Standard Version of the Bible with 700 devotions from Portals of Prayer. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or learn more about Portals of Prayer devotional Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer devotional Bible.
This is a short ad, and I don't have time to explain the whole thing to you, but you and your family need a good Lutheran church. You need this for spiritual nourishment and training, and for the support and community that comes from like-minded Christians. Your children need Lutheran friends who can become Lutheran spouses. If you don't have that where you live, you should move. One of the places you should consider is Fort Wayne, so that you can attend Redeemer, maybe send your kids to Redeemer Classical School, or just get your homeschooled kids involved with the school. Besides the church, Fort Wayne has lots to offer, including jobs. If you want to talk to families that have done just this, picked up and moved to Fort Wayne for the sake of the church, we can introduce you to some. And if you want to come for a visit, we can even help with housing. Life's too short and your children are too precious to live where you aren't spiritually fed and cared for. Your job, your income, is not the most important thing in your life. Find Redeemer Lutheran in Fort Wayne on the internet and drop us a line. We'd love to help.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. Our Savior's Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri, and Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at the website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal.